This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to another edition of Invest Talk. This is our Monday, August 24th, 2026 edition. I'm excited for this week with you. There's a lot to discuss in this market with the OPEX week behind us and mostly earnings behind us. But we do have one big thing this week, and that is NVIDIA's earnings, such a bellwether now of the tech space and the AI trade. And whether or not the market will react positively or not will probably send a broader signal. So that's going to be big. And then we have Jackson Hole from the Fed coming up here later in the week. What potential changes are coming out of the Fed that can move asset prices, the dollar, interest rates, gold and silver, other commodities, etc. And then, of course, the geopolitical volatility that we are just getting used to now. You know, the Strait of Hormuz has been closed for 6 months, roughly, now. And there's no real signs it's going to change in a meaningful way. So what does that mean for energy, energy costs, food costs, inflation metrics, all of that? So we're going to talk about all this and much, much more for the next hour. Most importantly, will be your live calls, 888-99-CHART, how to get through and ask your question on today's show. And then I'll bring some data and perspective developed with over 25 years of investment experience so that you can make better decisions with your money. That's what this show is about. And in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
Hi, guys. Great show. I was calling about Robinhood. I just wanted to see if what you guys thought of it, if it's time to get out of it, take some profits, or you think it's going to go a little higher. I'll be listening on the show. Thank you.
Looking at Robinhood, Hood is the symbol, H-O-O-D, a name that's been up and down throughout the years, but as of late has been on a nice little rally despite crypto kind of meandering. Robinhood has done okay. It's rallied from a low around 65 in, what was that, April? Now we're at 103, but it's still way down from its high back in the fall when it was at 150 and change. This year earnings supposed to be $1.09, $2.80 next year, but it's still $103 stock. The problem here to me is it's very reliant on the average investor. It's going to be very exposed to the tech trade. And the tech trade has been, especially since June, has been kind of struggling. Not coincidentally, so has Robinhood. So I don't love that. I don't love that correlation. I don't love the fickleness of their user base. Retail investors, those that use the app and think it's a big game because they throw confetti every time you buy a stock, for example. Their fee cash flow still remains negative, very negative. About $7.8 billion, $93 billion market cap. So they continue to burn more and more capital. And that's, to me, the biggest issue. It's just that negative free cash flow situation. And the valuation is not exactly cheap either. Enterprise value, even looking forward, is 43. So yes, I would take profits on Robinhood if you're up on it. I think this little rally recently is a good exit point. Now, we had a wonderful show on Friday. I looked into the story about financial innovation and how it's now a Fed problem. We broke down what tokenized money and instant payments could mean for the plumbing of the financial system, how it impacts banks, businesses, and much, much more. And we answered a listener question on SanDisk. And if you happen to miss it, go check it out. The best way to get every show is to follow Invest Talk wherever you get your podcast. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. Our main focus point is about regulation. It's catching up to the digital asset world. The Senate has delayed work on the Clarity Act. But what is it trying to do in the end? And if it gets passed, what real impact will it have on the sector as a whole? We have other topics on the docket as well. One is in regards to private credit. And there's a way to look into the private credit industry. And it is through public companies that invest in the same type of businesses these private equity and private credit companies do. And those are the BDCs. So we're going to look at the in aggregate, what kind of trends are happening underneath the surface within that part of the credit markets? Because ultimately, that is extremely important these days. It's not just what the big banks are doing. They're not really taking the risk. Even the corporate bond market is much safer than it had been in the past because most of these companies are just finding capital in private markets or through BDCs. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're saying about that slice of large slice now of the credit markets. And then brands. We're talking about brands everybody knows, like Heinz Ketchup, like Prego, like Smucker's, General Mills, etc. There are a million brands that were big in an era where if you just did some TV commercials, you could get a lot of brand recognition. Now the media environment's so dispersed and people care less about brands. They care more about, you know, is it organic or what is the price? Is it, you know, have a certain flavor that I want, etc. That these major brands are losing their shine. And what does that mean for the packaged food market in general long term? So we'll look at that. We also have voice bank questions on investment loss and then Rubrik Incorporated, RBRK. And of course, questions that came in via the comment section on the InvestTalk YouTube channel. But we're going to head into a quick break. You can call me anytime, 24/7, 365 on the InvestTalk voice bank. Or if you're listening live on our website, our live stream there, or possibly an AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because I plan to talk about today's market activity in the next segment.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
8899-CHART, 8899-242-7-8. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a quick look at the market today. It was overall a negative day, but not in a major way. The S&P was down about 0.25%. NASDAQ really was the loser, down about 0.75%. Dow was up about 0.25%. The total stock market was down about 0.33%, if you're talking about market cap weighted. And the big news is really about Treasury Secretary Bessent considering using the Treasury General Account to fund bond buybacks, which to me wasn't really big news because where do you think the Treasury General Account money comes from? It comes from borrowing money. So yeah, it might help in the short term. But ultimately, the twist that they announced last couple weeks, where they would buy back longer dated securities and sell short dated securities, that's going to have to happen. That's how you get money into the Treasury General Account in the first place, is you go out and you sell debt or obviously taxes, right? But we need more money coming in from debt each month. So I don't really think this is big news. It's just them. I think what he's trying to do is what was it Draghi did with the European Union back in the day when it was going through its crisis in, what was that, 2012-ish timeframe? And he said, whatever it takes, and it signaled to the market that, hey, we're here, we're going to step up, we're going to solve the issues that the market is worried about. And I think that's what Treasury Secretary Bessent is trying to do, is basically say, we are here, whatever tools we have, we are going to use. And that would be a signal for the market to flood into bonds and lower rates. Now, it did help a little bit. The long end was down about 3 to 4 basis points. Still, right around where we were during this announcement. So I don't think it's really done a whole lot so far. Rates continue to stay steady, consolidate here, and most likely will move higher in time. Dollar index is up 0.2% in the day. Gold up 0.4%. Silver down 1.4%. Bitcoin up 2.4%. Crude oil down 2.4% on the day. As you know, there's rumors that our blockade is more selective. We're still allowing some oil through the Strait of Hormuz. Not nearly as much as they were before, but more based on who we like. Iran still controls part of it, but there are other corridors that can't. So there's some complications out of the Middle East. But overall, there's still some oil getting out. And that's been helpful to keep kind of a lid on prices for oil. Although our strategic oil reserve is winding down. So the big question is, will it last in time for the midterms? I think there's about 41 days left of reserves. We'll see. Clearly, this administration is trying to keep things afloat for the midterms, which is what every administration does. In our environment right now, you just have to do more because of our debt situation. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this this evolves. What else did we get this today to start the week? Not a whole lot of headlines. Still kind of waiting on the NVIDIA news, like I said, on Wednesday. That will probably be the next big market moving event. Let's go answer a question that came in via our website. Kim asks, I bought Cracker Barrel stock in December of 2025 for $28.40. Symbol is CBRL. She said it's because it collapsed and investors didn't like the idea of changing the brand logo. Well, hindsight, that's a smart move. Now it's at 58. P though is 50. So I bought it as a long-term hold, but at this price, I think I should take my profit and run. What would KPP Financial do? Thanks for your advice. Interesting. Okay. So this is, a lot of people have these issues where they buy something cheap. They're right. They go into it saying, I like the company. I like the long-term vision. And then they do well. They're right. But then it goes up and they're looking at valuation and they're saying, it's too expensive. That may be correct. But what was the original thesis as a long-term hold? Is that still intact? That's what you have to ask yourself. If that's still intact, then this is more of a time to trim potentially. You trim based on valuation. You don't sell the entire position. So that's what you have to ask yourself. Is your long-term thesis still intact? To me, the biggest issue is that earnings are expected to go negative this year and then only $1.10 next year. That's down from $6.09 in 2022. So a huge drop in earnings. What's going on here is my question. I would have to be comfortable with this being a flash in the pan as opposed to a longer term trend. But once again, don't use valuation as a reason to get out of a long term hold, but it can be a reason to reduce your exposure. And that's what I would at least do right now. Our 24/7 InvestTalk voice bank never closes, so you can leave your finance and investment question anytime on 888-99-CHART, and our work continues after this break.
It's official. Total lifetime downloads for the InvestTalk podcast are now more than 63 million. Justin Klein is here now, taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about private credit. This is a very underappreciated slice of the credit markets these days as more and more money has gone to these entities, these non-bank entities, where the risk is very opaque. It's hard to know exactly what's in these private funds because they are private. But there are public versions of them. Another reason why I think buying private credit is usually a very bad idea, because you can get the same type of investment with a lot more liquidity in what are called BDC companies. Now, there are the 10 largest ones have now reported earnings. Names like Ares Capital, Blackstone Secured Lending, KKR Capital, Golub Capital, Goldman Sachs BDC, they have one. Main Street Capital, Mid-cap financial investment, Morgan Stanley Direct Lending, Blue Owl Capital, and Sixth Street Specialty Lending. Those are the top 10. And so looking at their results in aggregate can kind of tell you what's going on in that slice of the financial industry that nobody really talks about. So what did it say? Well, there's something in the industry called non-accrual status. What does that mean? Basically means they're not paying any more interest. So when the company is not assuming they're going to get interest, it basically is when a company is 90 days or more past due on payment. And they see enough credit deterioration that they don't expect to be made whole. That's a default. When you're lending money, you don't get your interest, you don't get your original principal back. That's a default. And this will feed into the dividend eventually if it continues to grow. So let's look at the numbers. With all of these names, the number of borrowers at least one debt instrument in non-accrual status went from 4.26 to 4.69. So about 1 in 20 nearly. That's way up from 2023 when it was at 3.69. So it's gone from 3.69 to 4.69 in 2 years. Two and a half years. And this is when the size of these BDC companies have basically doubled over the past 3 years. It's about $560 billion of total debt. That's as of the first quarter of this year. In dollar terms, non-accrual debt rose 39% to $2.8 billion. That brings the total to roughly $10 billion. About $10 billion of the $516 billion in debt. So this sounds wonky, it sounds kind of boring, but at the end of the day, this is where the bad lending in this market was, or in this cycle, shall we say. I always say, the last crisis was the mortgage crisis, right? If you go look throughout history, the next crisis is never the same as the last crisis. It's always different. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be a crisis, but this is certainly the area where the most risk is building in our financial system, both the BDCs as well as those private credit companies, private credit investments. Now let's go to Lisa in Alameda looking at DOBY. The owner looking to buy it?
I own it.
Okay. Can you clarify that symbol again?
Joby.
Ah, Joby. Joby, okay. What made you buy it?
I just thought it was an interesting space, and I had space that I already had Rocket Lab, so I thought that would be a fun avionics place to play.
Okay.
But then SpaceX just announced that they're thinking about they're entering the market in the same space, and I'm afraid they're going to get smashed.
Okay.
So I wanted your thoughts on whether that's going to change the landscape.
Yeah, I mean, this is a company that's it's one of those growth names that is just selling the dream that they're going to be the go-to manufacturer of basically drones for humans, right? Vertical takeoff and landing commercial passenger vehicles. Now, their revenue is growing, but it's still extremely low, and they're burning an extreme amount of capital. $7 billion market cap, and their free cash flow is negative $743 million. And it just gets worse each and every year. So I would sell it yesterday. Oh, the market was closed yesterday, but I would have sold it today. But I would sell it immediately tomorrow. This is not a good investment. This is the antithesis. And this is a very important lesson here is make sure that when you're looking at a company, it's not just about the story. It's not just about what they do. It's about the quality and trajectory of that business. And this is a bad business that is getting worse and worse and worse. Each year, they lose more and more and more money, and they just issue more and more and more shares. This is the exact opposite of a good investment. This is actually a fantastic short. So I would run very fast. Now, the InvestTalk Voice Bank never closes. We're ready for your finance and investment questions whenever you want to give us a call. Maybe do that right now. Coming up, I'll answer more, so hang on. At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Our main focus point today is about the Clarity Act, where regulators are trying to build a broad framework for digital assets. The White House is certainly pushing this, along with the SEC and the CFTC, but it's still stuck in the Senate. It's passed the House, but it's been stuck in the Senate, mainly over concerns of safeguards preventing public officials from those in Congress, the White House, et cetera, from profiting from their own cryptocurrency ventures. Obviously, President Trump has his own family cryptocurrency endeavors. And so that has raised a lot of red flags on both sides of the aisle. And that's why it really hasn't been pushed through. But let's talk about if a version of it ever does get passed, what is it trying to do? And does it make the industry as a whole safer? Now, for years, the crypto industry has been operating in kind of a gray area legally. And the SEC has been regulating by enforcement. It is basically bringing up issues with certain tokens and certain coins or whatever. And a lot of times, prosecuting. But the core of the new legislation is about defining exactly what a digital asset is. And even more importantly, who polices it? So is it the SEC, that's Securities Exchange Commission. Then the CFTC, they cover commodities. That's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Now, the definition within this framework of an asset is that it's tied to a contract or the essential managerial efforts of a central team. So this goes back to, if a team is launching a coin and they have control over it, that is an investment. But if it's decentralized, like Bitcoin, where no single entity controls the network, that is a commodity. So that's why you've seen Bitcoin ETFs being pushed through and not Dogecoin ETFs, for example. How does this impact companies if it's passed? Well, the SEC recently proposed regulation crypto assets to give startups a legally compliant 4-year exemption to raise capital via tokens, which is pretty interesting. 4-year exemption, wonder why. But also, it's kind of giving them carte blanche to not really crack down on what are shady characters. We know there's a lot of shady characters within that industry. Whereas the CFTC, they oversee the commodity exchanges where you're trading crypto to restrict it. Fraud, anti-money laundering, and other types of compliance. There's also an argument there. Are they doing a good job with that? There's still a lot of fraud within the industry. Now, how does this impact investors? Well, the SEC will say there's more disclosures, but we know these people, you know, the investors in crypto, they don't really read the disclosures. Most importantly, I think it would make it so exchanges cannot easily commingle customer funds. You've seen that with like FTX style collapse where they invested customer funds in certain tokens and then they lost and then boom, they collapse. So clear regulation would be good for the industry, but it doesn't just make the asset safe as a whole. But what it does is it allows financial advisors, for example, or more seasoned investors, shall we say, to actually invest in the industry and have more permanent capital, which would lower the volatility and be good for the asset class as a whole. That's what the goal, I think, of the industry is. Because they've kind of played all the games, especially with the ETFs, is how do you get more money flowing into the asset class? That's one of the things that continues to drive equities higher over years, is because there are 401ks now. There are robo-advisors. There are, you know, a million ways where money just continues to flow into equities. And what the crypto industry wants to do is set up the same type of framework where entities from around the economy, especially ones with the bigger bucks, they are comfortable putting money in consistently, day after day, week after week, month after month. Now it's very fickle, depending on, you know, your average retail investor. That's where most of the money going into crypto is coming from. And especially in a time like this where liquidity is becoming tighter. You have an economy that continues to be more K-shaped and people are pulling money out of crypto. And that's why, despite the recent rally in Bitcoin, it's still in a longer term downtrend. What's the next game here? What's the next catalyst for money going into the crypto space as a whole? And this is at least what the industry thinks, that they think it's it. Now, what does it mean for your portfolio? Should you put money into crypto? Well, maybe as a satellite position. Now, I'll tell you how we deal with crypto in our portfolios. We are open. We do have some small exposure to companies that make money on the trading, but it's not their core business. Let's say that. It's part of their offering is crypto wallets or, you know, some sort of making money off crypto transactions, that type of thing. And to me, that's a better business. You can see that within the equity market as well. If you go look at the exchanges, historically, that's where the money is, being the middleman. And despite the promise of decentralization, it's not really quite there yet. And so having a little bit, okay, but we like the companies that play within the space and are more of the middleman. Let's keep things moving and rolling. Another fresh listener question now from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Luke and Justin. Bill from Philadelphia here. Calling about Rubrik, RBRK. It's a cybersecurity cloud-based business that has run up quite nicely. I'm up roughly a little over 100% on it. And wanted to get your thoughts on if it's at a fair value now. I know I should probably be trimming a little, but at the same time, I think it could run up a little more. I wanted to see what you guys thought about holding for a little longer and maybe taking profits as it climbs a little more. Love what you guys do as always. Looking forward to hearing your answer on the show.
All right, looking at Rubrik, they provide cloud-based data security solutions. And the business was losing money consistently year after year after year until really this year. They lost a penny last year, so basically break even. Now it's supposed to make 31 cents this year and 64 cents next year. The problem is it's a $98 stock. Now, these cybersecurity names in general traded a pretty high premium. So with that in mind, it's not that dramatically overvalued compared to most in the industry. My question really more is, how is this better than the others? There are a lot of different cybersecurity companies out there that are trading at more reasonable valuations. This has good growth, but mainly on the top line because you're coming off of a low base. Sorry, bottom line because you're coming off of a low base. The top line, growing 25% this year, 22% next year. For a small name, that's good, but that's not amazing, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, we use Sentinel One, for example, for at KPP. They're also trading at a pretty hefty premium, but not as high as Rubrik. So that's my question. I would have to be very confident that Rubrik has something special that's different than these other cybersecurity names that's going to keep their growth above average compared to the rest of the industry. And I've done research within the space. I haven't seen Rubrik come out on top for any of those reasons. Maybe you're a cybersecurity expert. You have something, you know, we don't know at KPP, but unless that's the case, I would rather own some of the bigger names that have just better profitability, better cash flow, and aren't trading at quite the premium. Let's go answer a YouTube comment question. It says, Corey Durbin says, what are your thoughts on Enersy? ENS is the symbol. I'm looking for another way to invest in the increased power demand in the coming years, aside from investing in the utility provider, uranium, natural gas. Enix has experienced stellar earnings growth and appears to still be trading at a reasonable valuation. Do you think this is a company that has more upside, or is it worth investing at this price? Looking at Enersys, this is about $7 billion market cap. Pull it up on a couple of systems here. One of my main red flags is it's kind of in a downtrend, right? The last call at Rubrik, that was a nice uptrend. Technicals are fine. There's more valuation thing. But now ENS is topped back in, what was this, May? At about 245. Now we're at 187, already down 23% from its 52-week high. So it's during 1437 next year. What do? Manufacture and markets industrial batteries. Ah, so they're doing well because these data centers, some of them might run on solar. They need backup. So they need battery systems, etc. And earnings have gone from $4.47 in 2021 all the way to $13.37 this year, then $14.37 next year. Analysts are upgrading those earnings. I like that. It is the 200-day moving average, so it's at decent support. Let me give you even better support numbers. Yeah, look at the valuation here. So good balance sheet, that's good. Enterprise value beat around 10. I like that. Yeah, here's my issue. Why I like it, I like the valuation's decent. The return equity is solid, 18.5%. The cash flow is good. The balance sheet's good. I like all those things. My problem is the whole sector is getting a bit of, you know, it's going through a down cycle. Now that might only last for another month or two, who knows? But, you know, near term, I have issues with it. But I do think that this is one of those names that you want to probably be buying on dips, because if the demand for this type of product continues with AI data center buildouts, this will be consistent, right? There'll be servicing on these power systems. There'll be new ones that need to be installed, et cetera. So I like this. I like the valuation. I like the profitability. I just don't love the chart near term. I would love it down around 140. That would be a screaming buy down there. It's at 187 now. Let's go answer one more caller question now.
John here from Lakeland, Florida. My question is that, is it better to take a loss and sell the stock before it goes to zero? Or is it better to allow the stock to go to zero? Or does it really matter either way? Just trying to figure out the best way to recoup as much of my losses on these stocks as possible. I hope it made some sense here. Look forward to hearing your insight. Appreciate you guys.
Well, you know, the best way to make up a loss is to take that capital and put it elsewhere. This is one of the biggest flaws the average investor has in their psyche. It's a psychological thing. We all want to get even. We never want to crystallize a loss. There's always that hope that it will turn around. But that's not how good investing works. You need to make sure your capital is being deployed effectively, consistently, not sitting there wasting away in a stock that's just not performing, in a company that's not performing. So if you're down, you don't wait to go to zero. You say, okay, it's down. Did something change? Is the business, maybe the market is telling me something, that my thesis was wrong or something changed about the business and I need to move on? Because there's something called opportunity cost. This is the case for everything in your life. Every second of your life, you have you're experiencing opportunity costs. You're doing one thing, you could be doing something else. And that's the same with capital. You have money stuck in something that's not doing well. There are opportunity costs of that. You can go take that money and put it elsewhere. So that's how you make it back. You don't just sit there hoping and praying. Hope is not a strategy. Taking that money and redeploying it into something that's actually working is. And that's what you need to do. Take the loss. Hopefully it's in a taxable account. You can take the loss. You can offset that against gains elsewhere. You can maybe carry forward $3,000 a year to offset your income, for example. However it ends up for you. But the bottom line is, no, you don't just wait. You don't just let it waste away because you're wasting the opportunity elsewhere. Sell it. Move on. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you suck. The best investors in the world make mistakes. They lose money on certain investments. That's how this works. And until you realize that, you won't be able to maximize the capital that you have. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, Invest Talk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
We're going to go up to Fremont and talk to Frank looking at AAON, which is an HVAC company. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I was looking to buy, but it keeps going down. Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking my call. Great show. Really appreciate it. No. But I don't know why it's going down. I thought due to data center and everything, air conditioning mm-hmm. will be in high demand.
Yeah, this one's interesting. And is it signaling something broader for the AI space? You know, one of the things about the big hyperscalers and the tech names is that they're in the major indices, the NASDAQ, the S&P, et cetera. Whereas these smaller names, they don't have the consistent bid as those others. And so is this telling us something? I think that's could be the case here. Because you're right, its business had been doing well. It's supposed to do much better this year, up 75% in earnings to $2.36, then $3.57 next year. And it's a $76 stock. But it has declined pretty rapidly. It's down 50% from its high just to, late June? It's a pretty rapid decline. Like you said, it keeps going down. What I do in these instances is I let the market speak to me. The market is speaking to you. Okay. Maybe the market's speaking to everybody that this is declined so rapidly from its earnings. It spiked up on its earnings back in May from about 105 all the way to high around one, or close around 130. Then it went all the way up to about 150 when it peaked in early June. Now we're at 76, down 50%. So this is telling me something. I don't want to step in front of this. I want to watch it. Now, if it can stop, it can find some stability, it can start to reverse, it can show me signs that this rapid deterioration is ending, then yeah, maybe I could say, okay, the market is speaking that it's found support, it's found a floor here, and it can work off of that. Until then, I'm staying away from it. And this is our three-pronged approach to KPP. We're looking at the macro side. What sector should we be in based on the economy accelerating, decelerating, inflation rising or falling? Then we look at what's the best within the industry. So that's a question you have to ask yourself. Is AAON the best within this industry? We own an adjacent name that's doing much better than this. So I don't think it's the best one in the industry, but it's still doing well. So I'm not going to poo-poo it. It's not a bad business. It's just not the best in the industry. And then the technicals have to line up as well. And the technicals are not lining up at all here. And you need to recognize that and stay on the sidelines.
Okay. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Lastly, let's talk about packaged food companies. We're talking about the big names from ConAgra, General Mills, Smucker's, Pepsi, etc. North American or U.S. volumes were flat to falling at all of these food companies. And even in household products like Colgate Palmolive. Why? Because consumers are trading down. And it's showing in these in the consumer staple index. Since early 2023, that index is up 14%, where the S&P has nearly doubled. And so the old marketing playbook of having commercials does not work anymore. And the middle class and Gen Z especially are trading down. And the boomer generation that have, that grew up on Heinz ketchup, yeah, they have a lot of money, but they're not spending a lot more at the grocery store. And we know you get older, some of them are passing away. At U.S. brick and mortar retailers, they sold 9.3 billion fewer units of food and consumer packaged food in the past 12 months than 5 years ago. And there's a health aspect of this as well. People are shopping not in the middle of the store, on the outside of the store, either in the fresh food section or the freezer section, not in the packaged food section. And then the brands that are taking share are the up and coming ones. So that's really what's happening. There's a lot of smaller brands that are organic or just more interesting than, you know, your Pregos of the world. And the volume decline continues to accelerate. So people are trading down to store-bought brands. There's a health food aspect to this. And then there's just a marketing aspect that they can't, they don't, the mac and cheese commercials aren't working anymore. And so when you go look at these companies on the market, understand why their stocks are struggling. It's not a great value. It's a value trap. So be aware. Well, I'm Justin Klein, reminding you about KPP Financial's parallel investing. We make a trade for our clients, make the same trade for ourselves. Same day, same price, same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. We invest right alongside our clients. We share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more at investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about a free podcast download so you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.